Okay. Well, we got to get going about POAC and whatever. And we're going to start with you, Dino.
Yeah, okay.
Tomorrow night, something is happening.
Oh, yeah. Get ready to laugh your head off at the Zaniac. His name is Alex Zerbe. He was voted, I want to get this right, funniest prop comic in Seattle. He's been on America's Got Talent. He has 2 Guinness Book of World Records for juggling and hacky sacking.
No way.
And he's just funny, too. He's just zany. He has so much energy. I mean, when I think I have some energy, it's like this guy is like, you know, the energy of 1,000 suns. He's just running all over the place and doing all these great things and juggling, and he's got, and there's fire, and there's just, it's just, it's a great, great, great show. And it's fun for the whole family. I mean, I promise that even a sullen teenager will crack a smile. Everybody will love this show. And
Seven o'clock
tomorrow. Doors open at 6, and you can get your tickets at artinsandpoint.org, as always, with all our shows. You can also just walk into POAC. Our gallery and office is right across the street from Jalapenos. Or you can come to the box office, which will also open at 6. And tickets are $25 for adults and $10 for kids. And the other thing I want to say about kids is, you know, when we bring these shows to Sandpoint, all of these performers must have an educational outreach, and they all do. You know, that's why they do what they do, because they also love to reach the kids. So we have a school show tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. at the Panada. Every seat in the Panada Theater will be filled.
My understanding
496 kids are going to be in the Panada tomorrow.
They are going to go crazy.
From schools all over the school district. And that's a partnership that we have with the Lake Pendre School District. They pay to have them bused from all over the district into the Panada. And, you know, it's really wonderful because a lot of these kids haven't been in the theater before, and they get to get turned on to it. And a lot of times when the kids come and see the show in the morning, too, then they drag their family back to the evening show because they want more. You know, they want to see more. So we're really excited about that show. And that's the final show of our 2025-26 season. Yeah.
I'd make a suggestion. I'm probably not supposed to do this, but if you're walking around Sandpoint at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, just peek in at the Panada Theater and the energy.
Oh, gosh, I know.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
And to have that many young, which ages do you, what
oh,
grades
my gosh.
Would you
it's
say?
It's going to go all the way from, I think, from second grade all the way up to high school.
They're going to be climbing the walls
from
the ceiling.
From here out to Clark, from all over the place. It's going to be really great. I know sometimes when I'm on the stage for those school shows, when it's packed like that, and I say, okay, you guys, give me a cheer, I feel like that guy in that old commercial who's sitting in the armchair with the Bose speakers pointed at him and his hair is going backwards. That's what I feel like. It's like, wow! It's just incredible.
It's going to be incredible. And that's tomorrow night at the Panada Theater, 7 o'clock.
Yep.
The Zaniac.
Alex Zerbe, the Zaniac. Yeah.
And it'll be just, I have a feeling, Jack, this would probably be something that James would enjoy.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think so?
Oh, yes.
It's an all-ages kind of show?
Oh, it's all ages. Absolutely.
Okay.
It's very visual, you know, and it's got music going and everything like that. So young kids get mesmerized by it, too. And
bring
it's
him by the 10 o'clock thing.
Yeah.
Because the evening thing might be past his bedtime.
That's true.
Yeah.
But, come on down.
Okay.
Come on down.
This is a great idea.
Yes.
I'm formulating this right now in my head. Okay,
indeed.
Now I got something to think about.
Yeah. But it's going to be fun because we haven't done a show like this in a while, and we're excited about it.
Yeah, a lot of energy. Yep. I cannot thank POAC enough for including an educational component.
Oh, for sure.
Of everything, every performance that they bring in throughout the year.
You bet we do,
and to see the kids coming into the Panada and being exposed, whether it be music, whether it be drama, whether it be like the Zaniac.
Yeah,
what a great contribution.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And we feel so strongly about it. And these educational outreaches can take so many different forms. Like when we had Abby Posner, the songwriter, here in January, what she did was she went into the middle school music and band class, and they wrote a song together. So sometimes it's intimate like that, you know, like they actually came out of there with a song that they wrote about their life, you know, about middle school life. And it was funny. I mean, I'm like, I think that could be recorded, you know? And then sometimes it's like this, where kids are coming to a show, you know, at the Panada. So the you know, one time we took the Brubeck brothers in for the, you know, to the high school jazz band class, and they critiqued and
what
helped
a,
them.
You what know, an so, opportunity yeah, yep, for the students.
For sure.
I'll always remember one, oh, this is about 4 years ago, POAC brought a Hispanic band in from L.A.
Oh, yeah.
And they had a question to answer afterwards. And one of the students asked, where'd you get your shoes?
Oh, yeah.
And I just thought, that is so correct.
Oh, yeah. So... Oh, yeah. And he had cool shoes on. He knew he answered him right away.
It was some
website, you know, that must be a cool shoe website or something.
But,
that was,
oh, yeah, cute. Yeah, applause to the poet for
thank
doing
you.
That.
Thank you. Yeah.
When you talk about the kids who wrote a song, my son had an experience like that when he was in the sixth grade.
Yeah.
He's in his 50s now, and he still talks about that
experience. That's so cool. These formative things,
right? It was
right?
a lifelong. It had an effect on him.
You never know where it's going to lead.
Yeah. You never know.
You never know.
Yeah, that's so cool. So that's what's happening in the performing arts. And then the other thing I would mention before we hand it over to Jan, because Jan is on the visual art side of things on our board, and we call her the unofficial dean of the our art school, you know. So she'll talk, Joyce Dillon, who was our, you know, donor for that wonderful art school that we have. So we also have a gallery, and we have a show up right now that is all about, it's kind of like found art. It's really magnificent. All the people finding and repurposing objects to create art. And our next First Friday is on May 1st, and it's called Confluence, and I'll let Jan talk a little bit more about that.
Okay, the Confluence show is going to be six women, all abstract artists, and so it will be a fun time to interpret what you see and see. Everyone will see things a little bit differently, but they're very different, all six of them. So it should be a really varied and interesting show.
So, again, date and time.
First Friday is going to be May 1st from 5 to 7 at the POAC Gallery across from Jalapenos.
That's
there.
A Friday.
Yep, Friday. And we have wine and people. You know, we get like a couple hundred people at these things. It's really become a real wonderful thing for people to do on the first Friday of every single month. We have this. And then the show stays up for that entire month. And then it gets changed over the next month. So it's going to be really, really wonderful. Yep.
And what's fun about that is, if you're a person who lives, you know, a distance away from Sandpoint's, the downtown, if you come in once a month, there's always a different show. So
that's
it's kind
right,
of a fun thing to put on your list of things to do when you're in Spokane, or excuse me, when you're in Sandpoint.
Snow can do that to you,
yeah,
honey.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. I know. Snow brain.
When you're in Sandpoint, because every month it's always different.
So this coming 1st of May,
yes,
six local artists,
mm-hmm,
yes,
abstract women painters.
Yes. Yes. Or, you know, other types of art,
oh,
too.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And it's called Confluence, so it's going to be really cool. But, yeah. And then the other thing we have going on, of course, is these amazing art classes.
So, and we've been working really hard right now, right? We keep all of our classes online in a catalog. You can go to the catalog on artinsandpoint.org and see what we have to offer. But right at this exact moment, we probably have four classes up because we are working our tails off to get a really dynamic summer season going.
Oh,
and
we're
going to have a variety of like 3-week classes for people who live here and want to make a journey with their art. And then we'll have some fun one-shot classes for people who have company or, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, you know, they're coming in from a
sure
trip or whatever.
Sure.
You come in, you do your thing, and when you leave, you have a product that you've produced in that class. Some of the new things that we've been really looking for, and we are going to be introducing them this summer, is watercolor painting. We've been without
Ooh
a watercolor teacher for a while, and we have just an excellent program coming in, both fundamentals and advanced. And we're going to have an introduction to drawing class, a gel plate printing class. Mm. And one thing that we're super excited about is glass wind chimes, which has been a really popular class. Unfortunately, the teacher had to be gone for a while, and she's coming back this summer. So that's a fun thing to do in the summertime. Our metal artist will be teaching people how to make garden art with metal.
Cool.
Is that Dave Gonzo?
Yes. And we also have a couple of fun two-dimensional things going on. Hand-built animals and pots. She did a dog class. The ceramics teacher did a dog class. Oh, my gosh. I'm in love with the dogs. They're just so fabulous.
You can sculpt your dog.
You sculpt your dog. And
what about cats?
Somebody did a rabbit. So I would guess you could
no
do
cats.
That.
No cats.
I could do Shaggy, my little Shaggy, little sculpture Shaggy.
And also gourds. Gourds are a funny thing to use, but turns out a beautiful product, which is like a vase. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're really pretty. Mm-hmm. And those are one-shot classes, too. So,
like a pumpkin?
Well, you clean them out like a pumpkin, but they don't look like a pumpkin. The skin of them is very hard and real natural looking. Mm-hmm. And like a gourd can be a foot wide or a foot tall. They're fairly big. Mm-hmm. But the teacher has lots of ways to enhance the gourds, and they're really beautiful. Mm-hmm. I could picture someone having a collection of them, and they'd be really interesting because they're natural and they're all so different. So I guess what I would say is go to artinsandpoint.org and look at the catalog, but give us a week because all those things I was just talking about are right now coming in with times and dates, and they will be in the catalog by the 1st of May.
Mm-hmm. So this is for the summer months?
Summer season,
Summer season.
Mm-hmm. So starting in May.
Okay.
And then the other thing is you can register online for classes if you like. If that is not your way of operation, you can always come into the office and Claire will register you for the classes. Mm-hmm. So we're very excited and we hope everybody really takes advantage of it, has a great time. If they're local, has a great time forevermore. Mm-hmm. And if they're visiting, one-shot deals are a fun way to spend the afternoon.
Yeah. And, you know, I just have to make a plug for these classes because whether you are considering yourself an artist or whether at some point in time you were told that you weren't an artist, you don't listen to that because everybody's an artist. And when we were first starting to do these classes, they encouraged board members to try them out. And so I took a number of them. I took printmaking and I took a jewelry class and I took a fiber class and stained glass. And I just had so much fun. Even you know, some of the products surprised me, the end products in that I'm like, wow, that looks pretty good. But even when it didn't, the process of creating the art was so much fun, and doing it in a group of people. And like Jan said, if you know, you can just come in with a group of people and do a one-off class, you know, or just come in by yourself and do that. Or you, if you're really going to delve into it, you could take a 3-week class or even a 6-week class, right? And just really hone your skills.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And we have some people who take 4-week classes back to back to back so that they're just doing whatever the skill is. They're oil painting forevermore. So there are places where people can just take the class. And of course, they build relationships in those classes. Mm-hmm. And that's really a fun part of the whole.
Do we need teachers? We still need teachers?
We are still looking for teachers.
Okay.
We're better today than we were a week ago.
Okay. Where are your biggest needs? What media?
Well, I would have said watercolor and drawing. I think what we're really looking for right now is the interesting sort of nobody's ever done it before kinds of things. There's lots of people in town that do interesting, make interesting products. And we have basically the drawing and painting classes down. Mm-hmm. We have ceramics. Sculpture would be fun. That would be something we don't have. And somebody is going to come in and do 4-inch paintings of animals for one class. It's the
4-inch. Yeah. I like
all
that
fun little miniatures. Yeah. Yeah.
I think those kind of classes is what we really like to offer during the summer. So if somebody has a some skill or knowledge of a fun project that would be a 3-hour project.
And the wind chimes are kind of like that. Or like somebody did macrame plant holders, and you came out of there with a beautiful macrame plant holder. Those pine needle baskets.
We are still doing the macrame and the wind chimes. Mm-hmm. And we may do the pine needle baskets.
People love that.
Those are fun.
And I'd like to echo again, the first Friday of every month, there's a new installation at the POAC Gallery that will be up for the month. But what Jan said about, you know, if you're living out of town, come on in 5 to 7 and then go out to dinner someplace, make an evening of it. I think that's wonderful. And beginning on May 1st, 6 women artists, a wide range from abstract to representation or whatever?
Yeah. Well, it's mostly abstract, but they create abstract art in a variety of ways. So it should be an interesting and really diverse show.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then tomorrow night at the Panada Theater... The Zaniac.
Come see the Zaniac. You will not be disappointed. You will love him.
And that's at 7. Doors open at 6.
Yes.
And we want to thank both Dino and Jan for they're going to go home now and shovel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you for having us as always. We really appreciate your support of POAC.
Thank you for supporting arts in the community you guys do a bang-up job.
You bet. And do you want to give away a couple tickets to the Zaniac? Do we have time? Maybe not. I don't know.
Okay.
Let's give away a couple of adult and a couple of kid tickets, and then a whole family can come see the Zaniac tomorrow night.
Well, look at that.
208-265-2992. Again, 208-265. And we're going to start playing a song. First moment that you hear a note of the song, give it us a buzz. Is the phone on, Jack?
Phone is on.
Phone is now on.
208.
We can take the number.
265.
I'm going to ask our listeners who've won tickets or gotten a giveaway from us in the last month to not call in.
Yeah.
And have somebody, let somebody
spread
else
the love
come
around.
Okay. Yeah.
208-265-2992. On this date in 1966, April 16th, this song was released. Percy Sledge, When a Man Loves a Woman.
Oh, I love that song.
That is Percy Sledge, When a Man Loves a Woman, and a great hit on this date, released in 1966. I remember that, Jack. Do you?
I do not, Jim. Okay. I do not remember that. I love that song, but no, I don't. I don't actually remember when a Man Loves a Woman came out.
Yep, I do. I do. And on top of that, it was also the song that opens that incredible movie, The Crying Game. From the 90s.
Well, okay. Isn't there some other story about that? Did he just make it up on the fly or something like that?
I don't know the history of the song.
Yeah.
I don't know that. All I know is that it's a great song.
Yeah. You're right about that. Well, thanks to Dino and Jan for coming in from POAC and talking about the Zaniac, which is on stage tomorrow night at the Panada Theater. We're joined now in the studio by Molly Thompson, the school director, and Dante
Rumore.
You're the board president, board chair?
Title? I'm board president.
Board prez. Yep. Okay, from Selkirk School. Which is a 501c3 nonprofit co-op early education school not technically in Sandpoint City Limits, but right outside.
That's right.
Let's talk about Selkirk School. And you've got an event coming up. I guess, first of all, let's throw that out there, too, because you still have a few tickets left.
We have a few tickets left. We're almost maxed out, but we would love to have some more community members attend. It is an incredibly fun night. It raises money for the school. This particular event, we're raising money to build 2 new bathrooms and a multi-purpose room. Currently, we have 2 bathrooms, and they've been there for decades, and they work really well. But we have 33 kids and 7 staff, so 40 of us share 2 bathrooms. So as you can imagine, we're very strategic about our potty time for 3 to 6-year-olds.
A worthy goal, then, to add. How many bathrooms do you want to add? You had 1 more? Two more? Two more? Okay.
And one more time, what is the event and where? And tell us the details of that.
Yeah, it is going to be at the Heartwood Center. It is on Saturday, April 25th, from 5 to 9 p.m.
A week from this Saturday.
A week from this Saturday, yep. And we will have tapas catered by the bank, and our very own Dante will be bartending.
Whoa.
I know. And we have some amazing auction items listed, and we're pretty excited for them. And the auction items are all from the community. So our parents, the parents of the school, solicited them. Some of our local community members and businesses donated. So we have everything from gift cards on the smaller end all the way up to an e-bike and a charter cruise with Cloud 9 sailing and an adult Schweitzer ski pass. So a lot of good stuff.
So Saturday, April 25th, Heartwood Center, from when to when?
5 p.m. to 9 p.m.
5 to 9 p.m. Okay.
It's the annual spring fundraiser, and the theme this year is?
Back to 1978. I'm pretty excited. It is probably, I think, my 6th or 7th one I've attended. I'm really looking forward to the theme this year. Got my outfit already.
Back to what?
Back to 1978. That's the...
if you remember Percy Sledge, you remember 1978.
Yeah. Yep. When I was growing up, it was back to the 30s.
Yeah.
Back to 78. Why 78?
That's the year the school was founded.
Doing
a throwback for that.
Do you know a little bit about the history of the school, the major people and that sort of thing in the founding of it?
Well, I'll let Molly field this one, except I will say just recently we had a really cool experience with one of our neighbors who knows that my wife works at Selkirk School and that I'm the board president. And we were talking about this. There's some gaps in the information we have. And so we were telling her about that, and she's like, oh, man, I have so much stuff from when my kids went there. So she brought us a bunch of shirts and photos and all these events that they used to do in the late 70s, early 80s. It was kind of part of the gaps of the stuff that we don't have in our records.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to sit with her and go through it. Excellent. And kind of go through it. And it was amazing to see all those pictures. And funny enough, I bet there's people listening that were kids then that are now adults in our community that we know, and we're like, I didn't know he or she went there. So it was really fun to go through some of that very early Selkirk school.
What a find.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah. Back in the day, it actually was called North Idaho Learning Center. So if you grew up going to North Idaho Learning Center, it still exists. It's called Selkirk School now.
When did the name change? Do you happen to know when the name change occurred?
I don't know when we started going by Selkirk School, mm-hmm, because mm-hmm. it was before my time, which has been 10 years, but mm-hmm. it is actually only within the last 2 years that we officially filed paperwork to become Selkirk School. So we have been North Idaho Learning Center to the government agencies all along.
Has it always been a 501c3 organization?
Yes, I believe so.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wonderful. And one more time, Selkirk serves what age group?
3 years old through kindergarten.
Wow.
Yeah, little ones.
That's got to be a lot of energy and a lot of fun.
Yes. Oh, there are days where it's magical just to see the growth and, when another human being takes a piece of information and it just gets downloaded into like, oh, this is how we treat other people, or this is why the worm moves that way, or mm-hmm. this is why the sky is blue. They're learning all of those amazing things, and
now,
it creates a lot of magic.
Do you have a website?
We do. It is www.selkirkschool.com.
All one word, Selkirk School, no capital letters or anything, just crammed together,
mm-hmm.
.com?
Yes.
For some reason, I thought 501c3s was .org.
You can be, but you can get .com too. Mm-hmm. People okay. know .com.
And how many students do you have at any one time?
During the school year, we have 33, and we also have a summer camp that for this year, unfortunately, is already full. But we do have a summer camp, and for that, we have an average of 22 children per day. Some days it's a little bit less. Some days it's up to 25.
Mm-hmm. So in the theme, in the interest of going back to 1978, in those early days, I guess, do you know who founded the school and kind of why? What was in the late 70s? What was here what was the early education scene, especially in a rural area like where we live?
Well, if you can imagine what West Pine Street looked like back in 1978, it was just trees.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if the road was even paved then, but there was a little school. It was a trailer at that point, and it at some point morphed into an actual building. And then in 2015, we added another wing to add another classroom to it. But the little piece of blacktop that the kids still ride the big wheels on, that was there in the early 80s. We've seen it in photos. And the big trees that the children play in and the field that they run across, that is all still there. And that's part of the magic.
Yeah. I imagine a lot of people have seen Selkirk School, maybe not even recognize that they have seen it, but it's, you know, plenty of us have business out on the western end of Pine Street, whether you're going to...
I live near the western end of Pine Street. I'm heading west. What side of the street is it on?
You've been to the Pine Street Woods, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And you've probably been to the Upland Dump.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, before you take the turn on Upland Road, it's on your right.
It's on the right.
It's tucked back in there.
Okay.
Sort of. But there's a sign. I'm telling Jim about this. I know well where Selkirk School is.
I turn off on Lincoln.
I do. And I should probably disclose here that I have a personal relationship with Selkirk School. I know one of the students at Selkirk School, actually. I know a 5-year-old who goes to Selkirk School and is in Mr. Ryan's class and likes it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. The philosophy, I guess, what makes Selkirk School different than maybe a for-profit daycare or other kinds of early education that's available in our area?
Well, I can answer from the parent perspective because mm-hmm. I've had 2 kids go through there. And first, I mean, just like we're talking about the location, for years before I was even a parent, because I have family that lives up past there on Pine Street, and I drive past there, and I'm like, man, if I ever have a kid, they are going to that school. Mm. Just the outdoor environment.
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, and it's cool because, and this is just a side note, but as a parent, the property itself continues to evolve. Like part of our cohort of parents put a pump track in there. So just the outdoor space. And like I said, my wife is the preschool teacher, and she is dedicated to getting the kids out there in that space, you know, weather not permitting, you know, like, let's go out and be outside. So I think that's huge, is having that space. The element of being a community school as a parent, that was huge for me, both from, you know, for our kids, but also as being part of the community and getting to meet other parents and then having a say in how the school goes, right? Because our whole board is parents. And so we get to kind of guide and direct the school to a certain extent. But then we get to do a lot together as families. We come up and clean the school twice a year, do some projects around. Me and several of the other dads over the years have built things and contributed, fixed things. And so you get to really start to build a community, you know, and for a young family, being able to start to have a community, meet other parents, see, you know, I've had so many conversations with other dads about parenting and stuff that I met through Selkirk. So there's that element. And I would say another thing that we've been committed to, before I was on the board and since, is making sure we have the right staff, you know.
That's important.
Yeah, childcare is really tough to retain staff because you want to get the most qualified people. You want to get people mm-hmm. who mm-hmm. have the education and the skill set and the heart and the relationship capacity. And then you want to keep them. And so I think Selkirk is so dedicated. I don't think. I know Selkirk is so dedicated. That's one of our major parts of the board is like, how do we keep the right people
sure,
on staff
sure.
here?
Sure, keeping the staff. Well, to the left of you is a dad who mm-hmm. has a child at the Selkirk. What would you like to say to him or ask him?
What would I like to say to him?
Putting me on the spot
well,
now, Jim.
You know, I mean, yeah. Here.
I have questions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Dear.
Thanks, Molly.
Yeah.
Okay.
What is your child's favorite part of their day?
Oh gosh.
Perfect. Yes. we'll get James on the phone.
I know. Yeah, we could call him. He may be. I guess he's probably not tuned in right now, but maybe. You know, I mean, I think it depends a great deal on the day. I don't think he has one. He doesn't come home and say there is one particular favorite part of the day. We always ask. I mean, the Selkirk School does a great job of bringing in. It's every day is a little different, and you have weekly visits from a music teacher and from a yoga teacher. And on Thursdays, I always ask, what did they learn this time? And that's always very interesting mm-hmm. to hear about that. I think it depends a lot on what happened that day.
Yeah.
He doesn't. Yeah, he doesn't come home and always say, you know, oh, just lunch or something like that. It was
I know different. At the beginning of the school year, he loved to feed the fish with me in the morning when he first got there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
He brought one home in his pocket.
Yeah. I think having the right staff, Dante, you mentioned it before, but it is really important to have and kind of that individual focus on the child was really important, especially in our case, I think. It was hard for. You know, I wonder, this kind of leads me to another question. Here we are in 2026. The kids who are now in Selkirk School are the first generation of young kids coming out of the COVID pandemic, the lockdown or anything like that, this once in a lifetime experience that we all shared. Do you see, Molly, in day-to-day an effect that those kids have had from being their early years being different than anybody else's?
Yeah, definitely. That for in our kindergarten class this year, for a few of those students, this is their potentially first experience being in a group care setting because their parents had to figure it out during COVID. They just from there on kept figuring it out and, you know, stayed home in some capacity with their children until kindergarten time. And prior to 2020, 2021, so many families had their children in the earlier classes, either daycare or preschool throughout the community. And I think that we're seeing more of that again, but this year's kindergarten class seems like the last vestiges of children who have spent a lot more time at home with their families rather than a lot of time with their peers. And so their first day of school, their first week of school, was a little bit intimidating for some of them. Some of them were super excited, jumped right in. And some of them, it was a lot of sensory input. It was a lot of new friends to meet. And depending on your personality type, because little kids already have their personalities, that can be overwhelming. And so, you know, it was incumbent on us as teachers to make sure that they felt comfortable and felt safe. And we do that every single day. And it was especially important during those first few weeks of school. And we saw more of that need with this class particularly.
Yeah.
So is 33 the max number that you can?
It is, yes.
Okay. Could you walk me through, as somebody who doesn't have anyone at the school. What's a typical day or part of day?
Yeah, our days are really fun. The children arrive. Their parents come into the school, drop them off, help them hang
in
up
the morning.
In the morning.
In the morning.
They arrive at around, they can be there as early as 8:10, but classes start at 8:30. So if your child is one who needs a little bit of extra time to ease into things, you might show up right at 8:10 so that they have some time to attune before school starts. And they'll hang up all their gear and put their lunchbox away. They have little cubbies where they do that. And they give their parents a hug goodbye. And they walk into their classroom. And the fun begins. And so most of our classes start with choice time so that they have some social time with their friends while their bodies can be busy working on activities. So sometimes that's working on marble mazes. Sometimes it's puzzles. Sometimes it's Legos. Sometimes it's drawing. We usually have several activities in each class set out. In the kindergarten class, because there is more of an academic aspect in that class, they have some tasks that they do first thing when they get to school. So they'll write their name. They might have some basic addition or subtraction that they do.
Cursive? Was that cursive?
They don't work on cursive when they're five, no.
They print?
They print, yeah.
Okay. Just curious.
Yeah.
I'm matching it against my experience with the nuns.
They do get exposed to uppercase versus lowercase. They know their vowels. We teach them some basic Spanish. So when they're in line, we count in Spanish instead of counting in English. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. And then from there, it depends on the class. Our three-year-olds obviously have a more play-based day than our six-year-olds. But every single class after choice time, they have some more structured learning time where they might have circle time. They'll talk about the days of the month or the days of the week and the months of the year. They will, the kindergartners will do some phonics. There are science experiments. Our preschool class has. They're exploding volcanoes this week, which is pretty fun. Yeah.
Anything that explodes is fun.
Yep. And then, as Jack mentioned, on Wednesdays, we have a local yoga teacher come and teach yoga to each class. And on Thursdays, we have Mr. Paul from the festival at Sandpoint. He comes and teaches music to each class.
Oh, what neat.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say each class, how many classes are there?
We have three classes.
Okay, and how are they distinguished?
Our youngest range? Class, yeah, it's by age range. Our youngest class is, we call three school, and it's a young preschool. It's preschool for three-year-olds. And
so three-year-olds by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then four.
And then preschool is for four-year-olds.
Ah, okay.
And then kindergarten is for five-year-olds or six-year-olds, depending how, you know, where their birthday falls.
Cool.
Yeah.
Three school. Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I never went to three school. Does it show? Okay. And then this takes them, it's a half a day or a full day?
It is, the school day ends at 1 o'clock.
Okay.
And so, so far I've taken you to probably about 10:30. Okay. The children then have snack because, you know, growing bodies
got
need good fuel.
Got
yeah.
to. Hello.
And then after snack, as Dante mentioned, we get geared up and we go outside every single day, unless there is weather that makes it unsafe, which would be lightning or hail or extreme cold. But yesterday during the sleet and the, you know, raw yuck, we just, everybody gets bundled up. You put your mittens back on, you know. And last week, some of the kids were out there in shorts and just tennis shoes.
Or if there's a moose in the neighborhood, you don't go out.
That's true. We have not ever seen one. We see bear scat in our playground. We have 4 acres, so it's a big property.
Yeah,
but we see bear scat and deer a lot. But we see moose sometimes near the property. We've never actually had one inside the playground.
Okay.
Yeah,
I like that concept of getting the children outside.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In 4 acres, that's a lot of property to roam around.
Cool. We're talking to Molly Thompson, the school director, and Dante Romore, the board president of Selkirk School, an early childhood education program on the outskirts of Sandpoint, up on Pine Street. They have a an event coming up next weekend, a fundraiser for that 501c3 nonprofit. Hey, if people are interested in tickets for that, I don't know if we mentioned who do they call or where do they go?
Mm-hmm.
Website or email address or what?
We do have a website for the event specifically.
It's a long URL, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Okay. But they can either email me, which is info@selkirkschool.com.
That's easy enough.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I can get them set up with some tickets. Or they can call the school, and that's 208-263. And then the four last digits.
And then the four last
digits. I'm under the pressure. Right.
Whatever.
It's 208-263-4931.
Thank you. 4931. Yeah. It's rare I call myself.
Exactly. Yeah. You're not alone.
Yeah. Yeah. This is kind of a rare day to have Molly not in the school, I think.
It is. Yes.
Yeah, at this hour.
And it's 5 days a week?
Right there.
It is.
Reading
Monday
somebody.
Through Friday. The class, so our three school class, our 3 year olds are there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Preschool is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And kindergarten is Monday through Friday.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The school holds 33 kids and has since that building has been there. You're going to add some restrooms with the proceeds from this fundraiser and other fundraising activities. Looking at the demographics of Sandpoint and in Bonner County, it's growing. Do you foresee the school growing someday in the future, adding staff and adding to the facility, or do you think the 33 student body is going to hold for a while?
You know, we
long term or short term. What do you think?
We have considered that at various points over the last decade, and once upon a time, I think in the 90s, Selkirk actually went through fourth grade when it was North Idaho Learning Center.
Oh, wow.
There was a period of time where it went through second grade. We, as we said, currently go through kindergarten. Occasionally, we have really strong parent support to go through early elementary, which would be second grade. But we feel, after a lot of back and forth and discussion and viewing it from all angles, it would fundamentally change some of the amazing qualities that make up the school as it is right now. And while we would love to serve more of the community and serve the Selkirk community for longer, it would change the small nature of the school. It would get a lot bigger. It would be harder to... Yeah. Have that individual attention, and when you mix in older kids with such a young age group, sometimes there's beauty in those older kids stepping up and being leaders, and sometimes it is the littler ones get lost, and we really want to focus on that early childhood education.
Yeah. It is neat that, my son knows the kids in his own class, but really he knows everybody in the school, and he knows all the staff and all the kids. And there are no real strangers to him at that school, which is a little unusual for an education experience, I think.
Yeah.
How unusual is Selkirk School? Do you know, is the model of Selkirk School, is this based on a pattern that you could find elsewhere in the area or in the country, or is it kind of a unique, totally unique childhood learning experience?
I have not come across another organization that is exactly like Selkirk. It's not modeled on anything else. When people ask what curricula we follow, it is a blend. We try to take the good in a lot of different early childhood theories. So we do have some Montessori aspects of it. We do have some Waldorf aspects of the school. We also do have an academic aspect to the school. And so the children are prepared to go into public school and go into traditional learning when they leave Selkirk. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my experience as a parent with the curriculum and from the board, but it's so child specific. And that's one of the things I really love about the school is it's less committed to a certain educational philosophy and more committed to each student. So I can think back of many of the times we've met with our kids' teachers, and it was so specific to our kid, what their needs were, where they were at, emotionally, socially, academically. And at that time, age, all those things are so important. And so some kids, our daughter was just a strong reader, but very, very shy. So part of the, her very personalized approach she was getting from her teacher was to help her open up a little bit and be more confident. And so again, I think that just the individual focus that each kid seems to get up there based on what their needs are and where they're at. And kind of going back to the earlier question too, like the expanding the school, like the small class sizes are really what makes it so special. The amount of focus they get from each of their teacher, and some of our classes often have two teachers in there with an assistant teacher helping out, and they get a lot of attention specifically for their needs.
Let's see. Well, we can. My next question is, if folks are more interested in learning about Selkirk School, maybe have kids of their own who are interested in, or who would be interested in becoming part of the next generation of Selkirk students or parents, what's the process like? Get in touch with, drop in or get in touch with you, give a call?
Because I am so often helping in the classrooms, sometimes the phone calls do go unanswered. I will get back to everyone eventually, but if you would like an immediate response or a same-day response, email me at info@selkirkschool.com, and I will, those I get within a few minutes, because I always stop back and check in at my desk where I don't necessarily check voicemail. But you can also check out our website, selkirkschool.com, and see what we're about so that you can get an idea of if it's something that you're interested in. And from there, once you reach out, we send each prospective parent some information about the school. Because we're a co-op school, our parents are a lot more involved than just traditional childcare where you drop off your kid and you pick them up. It's our If we have a leaky sink, it's our parents who come in and help fix that. If we need parents to cover for a staff meeting, our amazing community of parents, they step up and cover for staff meetings. So we want to make sure that every prospective family is comfortable with the involvement that's part of being a co-op school. And then from there, if everything looks good to the parents in terms of what the school is about, we have the parents and the child come in for a visit, and they get to tour the school and see our playground and spend some time in the classroom with the specific teacher that would be the right age fit for their child, just to make sure that we're a good fit for them and they're a good fit for the rest of the children in the class.
As we're running low on time here, but I'm going to ask what's the relationship of Selkirk School and maybe just of all the preschools and early education in the whole with Lake Pend'Oreille School District? Do you interface with the school district a great deal, a little bit, not at all, or how does that work? Because most of your students will be going on eventually into LPOSD, I suppose.
The majority of our students do go on to the local public schools and are well prepared for that. We are not part of Lake Pend'Oreille School District. We are a private school, but we, for the most part, follow the school district's calendar. And so we start school on the same day. We have Christmas break at the same time. We end school similarly. And so if there are older siblings, it's pretty much in alignment with that. We certainly have a collaborative relationship with the local schools. So when, if they need information about a student that came to Selkirk, we're happy to collaborate with them. And one of our teachers actually works at Washington Elementary now, one of our former teachers. And so it's fun to know that Selkirk even in the wider, as the children get older, they still have friendly faces. And mm-hmm. My daughter, who's 14, before I even worked at Selkirk, she went to Selkirk School. That's how I knew I wanted to work there. Mm. And her best friend currently is still her best friend from Selkirk School. Mm-hmm. So those friendships last a long time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I just want to say that I was thinking of, you know, if the school was started in 1978, early classes, those people would be in their late 40s now.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Back to 1978. That's the year after Star Wars, by the way. You know, that's the way my mind works. But again, the fundraiser, April 25th at Heartwood Center. There's going to be auction items. You can dress up as back in 78.
Yep.
I'm still wearing the clothes I wore in 78. and the money goes towards refurbishing the bathrooms or
new bathrooms. We're actually breaking ground. They're putting up the safety fencing today. And so breaking ground in the next couple of days on that project. So
that's got to be exciting.
It's super exciting. We're working with homegrown builders and we're super excited to partner with them. They've been really collaborative in terms of making sure we can still run our school and camp operations while the project continues.
Yeah. And I don't know if this kind of got or lost that we didn't hit on too much, but it's not just bathrooms. It's a multi-purpose room where the kids are going to be able to do all kinds of activities during the winter or whenever. They'll have a big space to play. So okay. There's a multi-purpose room with space for a kid's kitchen because all the classes cook. Or two of the classes cook, so they're doing baking.
Yeah, every single week.
Every single week. Mm-hmm. But then there's a big spot. And as a parent and the president of the board, I have a lot of vision for this multi-space.
Cool.
I mean, we got the yoga, then still to have more room to do yoga, maybe tumbling someday, but just a big space where the kids can really be indoors and have room to roam. So.
Yeah, you need space. As a non-parent, I've got to ask this. Is it going to be roll toilet paper or sheet?
What?
Well, in the bathrooms, I mean, is it roll
there
or
rolls
sheet?
We have rolls of toilet paper, yeah.
Okay, just asking.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Even our paper towels are on rolls, not sheets.
Okay. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay.
Is that going to work for you?
I was just thinking as a kid, a roll is that, you know, you take more than you really need. But
it sometimes happens. Yeah.
You know, whereas sheet, you know, you get this little thing about that's, uh-huh. Like the painting that Jan was talking earlier, 4-inch square.
Yes.
And I don't mean to use art for that.
Do they even sell sheet toilet paper?
I've never seen it. I didn't even know that was a thing.
I think
is this pre you? Is this before you, Dante?
I think you're dating yourself.
It's pre-1980. It's pre-Dante. So.
Yeah. That's an interesting idea. I think they should bring it back. I could use sheet toilet paper. Let's not talk about that right now.
Don't forget, as a non-parent. So.
Yeah, okay. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY Pondere, and this is the morning show. We're about out of time, but we've been talking to Molly Thompson and Dante Romore. Molly is the school director, and Dante, the board president of Selkirk School. We have a few other events coming up that we'd be remiss not to mention.
Yeah, I'd like to mention real quickly, Saturday is Shred Day at Columbia Bank, the parking lot. You can shred up to 3 bags or small boxes and bring a donation to the food bank, which is always a good thing to do. So this Saturday, rain or shine, from 9 to 1 p.m., bring by things that you want to shred and bring a can or two of something and goes to the food bank.
Okay.
I'm ready. I'm ready. I got a pile of stuff.
Yeah. Shredding documents.
Shredding documents.
Shredding the slopes or anything. Yeah, right.
No. That's language I don't know.
Okay. Tonight at the Panetta Theater.
Yes.
The Bonner County Human Rights Task Force is presenting a documentary called Carla the Rescuer about... Mm-hmm. A woman who was in the Dutch resistance during World War II. And actually, Carla is still with us and lives in Spokane and may
in her
possibly...
90s.
Yeah. Yeah, and she may possibly be there tonight. Mm-hmm. She's going to try. Definitely her daughter is going to be there. And I believe the director of the National Holocaust Museum is also going to be
cool.
in attendance. I know.
Yeah.
And there will be a little Q&A as well. So that is tonight at the Panetta Theater, presented by the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force. And was there one other event you wanted to mention? I forget. The Zaniac, of course.
The Zaniac. Yeah. You can go to Standpoint Online and mm-hmm. Find out about all the incredible events that are occurring in this community. Mm-hmm. It's amazing that we can cram so much in mm-hmm. so little time.
Well, we'll say good morning. Molly, are you heading back to the school?
Oh, yes, I am. Yep.
What are you diving into when you get there? What do you think you'll be doing today?
Invoicing for our aftercare program.
Oh, that's not fun at all. I thought you were going to be building the volcano or something. Okay, never mind. I think we'll leave it there. Was there anything else we forgot or neglected to mention about Selkirk School before we sign off here?
No, I just want to say that we probably have listeners who either your kids who are now adults went to Selkirk School as North Idaho Learning Center, or you yourself may have gone there, and just wanted to let you know that the magic continues. We're still there, and we actually have some parents now who are alumni of Selkirk School, and cool. their children mm-hmm. now come to Selkirk, which is, we love that first full circle moment.
We're one of those families. We're a two-generation Selkirk family. Not myself, but my partner. Yeah. Okay, let's make room for Bird Note and then Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long here on 88.5 KRFY. And thanks, Molly and Dante, for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for having us.